following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Green 19 Packers podcast, live from Lambeau Field after a 21-13 Packers victory over the Chicago Bears. I am Jim Ozarski, along with my colleague Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Tom, not only did the Packers win and beat the Bears, hang on, as they are apt to do, but as we record this, they are now a playoff team. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Los Angeles Rams in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Seeding has yet to be flushed out, but for the first time in 3 years, the Packers, A, are going to the postseason, and the first time in franchise history, a rookie head coach is guiding them there.
Yeah, it all became official with a loss for the Los Angeles Rams. And then, you know, really the number one seed is up for grabs, too, with San Francisco losing to Atlanta. All of a sudden, I was looking up scenarios. There was a scenario in which five teams could finish 12-4. And the Packers would be the number two seed in that scenario. But, you know, the main thing is you want to get in the dance, and they're in the dance. But as always, we leave these games with question marks about their readiness for the playoffs, their comparison to other teams in the playoffs, and whether they can really beat a good team, and they got one coming up next week.
Yeah, it's you know, the one score win over Chicago I don't think was surprising to anyone. But you know, up 21-3 halfway through the third quarter, you just sort of felt this was it. They were finally gonna, you know, put a team away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe answer some of those questions, and instead we end the day asking them yet again in that post-game locker room, Tom. And look, yeah, you know, you're right. They're in the dance. They have a chance at the one seed if things break right elsewhere and they win out. And yet, I don't know. I mean, Atlanta has now beaten New Orleans and the 49ers. What does that say? I mean, the Packers may not have – I think the only team with a winning record they've beaten is Minnesota. But – I mean,
has Dallas ever win record?
I think maybe,
now?
No, Dallas 500? Is 7-7.
Yeah,
Philadelphia 7-7.
Right.
So
Kansas City, I guess.
Kansas City, but I mean, it's such a unique feeling. I think the Chicago media guys, some of them thought the Bears would win, and they're walking around the press box being like, "I mean, these guys aren't that good." What?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think two things, and we said it before in last week's podcast. The Bears were not as good as everybody was making them out to be during this five-game stretch in which they won four games. They were beating nobody, just like the Packers have been beating nobody. And so the Packers won the battle of nobodies. I'm not going to say that it wasn't a hard-fought win, because they still – Chicago came in here trying to prove something, and anytime those two teams play, both teams play hard. There were some – good things to take from it, but there are also just the same kind of inconsistencies, and they revolve around Aaron Rodgers mostly. And I don't know whether this is just first year, disconnection between right. quarterback, everybody else, and offense, and the head coach. I don't know, but for whatever reason, they just have just these little spurts in which they look good, and then the rest of the time they feel it looks like they're running in place.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, 16 of 33, 203 yards, one touchdown, one sack late, a 78 rating. Aaron Jones, 13 carries, 3.9-yard average. Of course, 21 of his 51 yards came on one run. He didn't catch a pass, so he was at 13 carries. Yet again, they can't stack back-to-back games with Aaron Jones touching the ball 20 times. But to your point, Tom, about is this a first-year offense? It's interesting because the receivers were telling me, and then Matt LaFleur and Rodgers elaborated a little bit. They, especially in the second half, they moved Devontae Adams around. They wanted to get him up against Buster Screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matchup they could exploit. They did. They saw some stuff with Aaron Jones, even splitting him out, whether they didn't throw to him. It worked. I think early, if Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches that ball, I mean, this is maybe a different conversation.
Yeah,
because maybe
certainly.
It's 14-0 after the first quarter. But
right, and certainly Rodgers' numbers are a lot better if he catches that.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you mentioned the first-year stuff. So it's like certain elements of Matt LaFleur's matchup-based game plans always work. They do find it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this so many times, and yet they can't seem to string it further than that.
Right.
I mean, I think the Packers at 18 yards or 14 yards of offense, whatever it was, after that last touchdown. Like, how does that happen?
I don't get it. And they were given good field position. They pass protected beautifully today.
Yeah.
They held Hicks, Khalil Mack, and Leonard Floyd to no sacks and two quarterback hits. And I went back and looked at their front four, and it's only like the fifth time this year that the Bears have been held. Their four top guys, Mack, Hicks, Nick Williams, and Leonard Floyd, have all gone without a sack. So the least time I figured that would happen would be against the Packers, especially given up. You know, they'd given five sacks and a couple of hits in the opener. So that said, you protect really well, and you would expect that you would win this game by 25, 30 points, you know, when you protect that well. And even though they ran the ball, you know, so they averaged 3.5, that's not bad. They were doing a lot of setting up play-action passes and things. There's just something. You get into that fourth quarter, and it's head-scratching as to why they cannot finish a game.
Yeah, and it's, to me, Tom, at least in this instance, it was finishing the game properly, because there have been moments. 14 mm-hmm. points against the Giants in the fourth quarter, ran out the final five minutes in Kansas City, but they've also gone scoreless in two fourth quarters. They've had several scoreless halves. So, I mean, it just so happened that today, or Sunday, excuse me, it was the final 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked about this defense, Tom, and how long they could keep this up. And yet again, there's Dean Lowry, of all people, coming up with it. Like, this group just seems to make that play. And while they had to go back out there and kind of fall on a ball at the 2 yard line. I mean, 21-13, one score, win the turnover battle. This is kind of Packer football in 2019.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, we should be used to it by now, and we should be probably not making it seem like it's a big deal
right. That
they can't do these things, because it's obvious they can't do these things. They can't be a consistent offensive force. I think defensively they're consistent every game. I think they get a timely turnover. They get after the quarterback. You know, sometimes they stop the run, but, you know, mostly they're very opportunistic. They don't give up much in the red zone. I think they're consistent from that standpoint. I think it's just week to week, you don't know what you're getting offensively, who it's going to be. And I think Rodgers made the point that maybe it's just Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, and, you know, see if teams can try to take out both guys, but they probably can't. So you go to the one that they can't take out.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, what's funny is nine different players had targets, which is about right. The issue is eight had catches. Valdes-Scantling didn't make make the one play he was allowed. But or six added targets. Excuse me, Jimmy Graham was held out of catch. But, I mean, we're talking about Tanyan and Lewis combined 2 catches for 11 yards. Jamal Williams, 1 catch for 7 yards. Allison Lazard combined 4 catches, 31 yards. I mean, Davante Adams, it was so skewed to his way. And now while he was winning, I think that's the issue, Tom. Is what, the thing we talked about, we were looking for after Adams came back was, can these players in their 1 to 2 to 3 opportunities make the play? Jay Kumerow did. He said he was not expecting the throw on that 49-yard, but the look was for Adams. It went to him. He caught it, broke a couple tackles. There's 49 yards, sets up a score.
Right.
But Valdez Scantley didn't make it. Geronimo Allison dropped the ball. That
right, third down could play.
Could have gone for 15, 16 yards and extended a drive. So, you know, I get maybe that's the issue is that just after all these weeks, these guys can't make the one catch. It's like they need volume.
Yeah.
And they're just not going to get that volume, right. Are they?
No, no. And it's obvious that every team's, again, we say it, I've said it several weeks, every team's goal is to stop Aaron Jones. And Chicago did it similar to the Giants by putting a big lineup on the front line and then bringing a safety down too. They just were not going to let Aaron Jones get going. So that's why Davante Adams got some one-on-ones. Washington, on the other hand, tried to stop them but was more interested in dropping a bunch of guys into coverage and sort of took Adams out of it. I don't know. I guess they're just going to have to play the opposite of whatever the defense is doing to them and try to get it to one of their two stars.
Is this like the Saints, except not as dynamic? I mean, is this a Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara situation with a quarterback who is kind of playing okay?
Yeah,
I mean, it feels like we're talking about the same thing, and you're right. Brian Bulaga was saying after the game, Tom, I think he called it a 6-1 defense.
Mm-hmm.
4 big guys up front, bringing the stack linebacker in the middle, the safeties. Basically, he's like he didn't say it, but by describing the front, he's saying, we don't think Aaron Rodgers and this group can beat us, which that was the point, the theme of our weekday podcast, and it's just amazing that to see it play out this way the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, and I would not have bet that they would hold Mack or Floyd without a sack, and so you're winning that side of the game. You should be able to throw the ball. I mean, it's not like Chicago's secondary is dominant. They're good. I mean, Kyle Fuller's good, but they're not deep. And I think you saw LaFleur try to take advantage of that with a lot of empty backfields and 3-4 wide receiver sets. Then he'd go to 2 tight ends. He tried that as well. But there was just nothing that they gained consistency with. Looking at the first 2 drives of the third quarter, I can't remember exactly what personnel they were using to be so successful on those. I think they just got Adams in a situation where it was 2nd and 9, and they got him matched up with Skrine, and he was able to take that slant and go a long way with it. And then Rodgers got the 17 on the scramble. And then Aaron Jones busted a 21-yard gain. So that was a good series. They get some big plays. But they are turning into a big play or nothing kind of offense. So if they don't get a big play during a drive, then they don't score very often.
Yeah, and, obviously the game could have started much different if Marquez Valdes-Scantling didn't drop the ball. We know you won't, Spoon, because on New Year's Eve, don't drop the ball. Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tickets start at just $49. Meet Tom Silverstein there. Get yours at mkenye.com.
I can't stay up that late.
And
I'm not awake now, actually.
They are a big play. And that's the thing. I mean, if he catches that, you know, again, this looks way different. You know, it's a one play for 75 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's the only target he gets. And now Valles, you spoke to him after the game, Tom. He was kind of quickly leaving the locker room.
I mean, he shrugged his shoulders and like, I need to make the play. It's basically what he said. I said, well, did you lose track of it? You know, sight of it? And he said, you know, it was sunny and no clouds out there. No, I just got to catch it.
He just whiffed.
Yeah. He just whiffed on it. And I thought it was smart to try to get him involved on the first play. That would have been a huge confidence builder.
He beat Amuka Mara and Clinton Dix.
Yes. And I talked to Balaga about that. He's like, him and Bakhtiari looked, they had the script and they saw that first play. And they're like, oh, crap. One of us is going to have to block Khalil Mack by himself on that play. And they were like, okay, so he's like, all through the week, I'm, you know, thinking about it before I go to bed that on this very first play, I might have to block Mack by myself to give Rodgers enough time to throw deep. Well, it worked out great.
Yeah.
And then it didn't. It didn't. It worked out great, and then it didn't.
Yeah, so I
don't know. You know, Jim, I don't know what else to say about the offense anymore. You know, when I was walking down with Brad Biggs from the Tribune, from the press box, I'm just like, I'm writing the same story every week. I don't know what to say anymore about this offense or the team. You know, they are the strangest 11-3 team I've ever been around.
And that's interesting because you've covered all 200 Bears-Packers games.
So I have,
so
yeah.
So Alan Lazard, I have to share this with the listeners. I asked Alan Lazard about this, and he said, you know what we're like? He was like, you know what this is like? When it's dark and you're looking for the charger, the outlet for your phone charger, and you know it's there. And he's like, and sometimes you get it in there, but most of the time you just spend all your time kind of just missing it.
Uh-huh.
And so he tells me this, and he goes, that's a great analogy.
That's a good analogy.
And so, you know.
I could have used that for my story.
Yeah, well, I had to use it for mine.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so, but, you know, so even they know what that this is what it is. But again, I think the common theme, Tom, and I'm sure you heard it, was I'm not apologizing, speaking as a player.
Right.
I am not apologizing for winning a game and being 11-3. It is strange. So I guess I will turn to the defense then. You know, they held this team to 3 points for a half. I think this was a game where they didn't play. J.K. Scott, I don't know how you feel about his day, but I didn't think they got much help from their offense they didn't get the booming field-flipping kicks that Scott gave them in week one.
No, no.
So I thought these guys played pretty well. They gave up stuff over the middle, but...
Well, Pettine was playing it that way. I mean, Pettine was trying to work the clock. Trying to make the Bears go 12 plays and playing the odds that they're going to hold them when they get to the red zone and hold them to a field goal. And for the most part, the strategy worked. I thought there were some times when he probably could have taken a couple more chances and gone after Trubisky. But basically he was saying...
Play quarterback?
Yeah, play quarterback and see if you can beat us. And in the end, they don't have the skill players that are really necessary, the number of skill players you need. The Packers' secondary is solid. It's not great. Kevin King gave up a bad catch to Allen Robinson. But other than that, you know, I mean, there were a couple of catches given up but there was pretty good defense being played for the most part. So, I don't know. Run defense was outstanding. Kenny Clark had a monster game.
Yeah, and he got my game ball on Insider. And I thought, Tom, this was their best individual tackling game that I can recall.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, when it was one-on-one solo tackles, which the Bears would take any day of the week, that's the formula they used last December.
Mm-hmm.
Short passes make a guy miss. And I tweeted out how there's a huge difference between Ibrahim Campbell and Eddie Pleasant. You know, Jair Alexander's way more physical. And I don't know if we were still dealing with like a groin last year in the week 15, but I thought Blake Martinez tackled well also.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he makes a lot of tackles, but I thought 6 points through the first, you know, there's only 14 minutes left in the game at that point. I mean, that's winning football.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that's a problem is that Chicago had so many plays, 83 yeah. plays.
Oh, it,
they Packers find it kind of hard to get off the field.
That is true. This was the first time the fourth game that neither of the Smiths had a sack. And that's usually their recipe is a third down sack from the Smiths. Now Kenny Clark. Great day. 2 sacks on his own. I thought he wrecked things early. Rashawn Gary, big sack on first and 10 at the 16, helped force a field goal. But to your point, that third down play, I mean, Za'Darius Smith affected the quarterback on the Dean Lowry interception, but you didn't. Yeah. I thought Preston Smith set edges well.
I think Za'Darius Smith helped set up Kenny Clark. When they line him up in the middle, so they put him. I don't know what position they call it, but it's sort of a rover. And most of the time he just goes up and ends up going right up the center against the center.
That's a bad mismatch for teams.
It
Kenny
is.
Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, and Kenny Clark usually ends up getting a one-on-one. That's what happened in his first play when he got a tackle for loss, 3-yard loss. You know, Za'Darius Smith is setting that up for him. So even when he's not getting sacks, he's still doing something, and he's still creating pressure. I thought it was a winning performance for the defense. You can talk about all the yards and everything else, but it all comes down to points, and they made the plays they needed to. Now, we'll get into more during the week. But next week they're playing a little higher caliber of an offense, although Dalvin Cook got hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they just keep catching breaks. You know? They do. I do want to say something about special teams. Now, Scott averaged 35.7, 33 net. But, you know, for the most part, you know, Patterson had a 26-yard return and a 18-yard return. Not bad,
yeah.
You know. Crosby did his job, and on the opening kickoff, Josh Jackson makes a great tackle on Cordarrelle.
Solo tackle,
yeah.
Again.
And Tyler Irvin has a 12-yard punt return. He averages 35.5 yards per kickoff return. Had that 45-yard kickoff return. He set the offense up, and then they blew it.
Yeah.
You know, then was that the one where Rodgers took a sack, or was that the fourth and six?
That was the fourth and six, which leads me to, it was the Lowry interception is what set him up in territory where Rodgers took the sack,
mm-hmm.
and they had the punt. So the offense, again, given two prime choice field positions, they can't even get a field goal out of it. But so there's two things I want to hit before kind of interesting nuggets for this game specifically. What did you make of the head coach going for it on, I want to say, all of those fourth downs?
Stop
it. It was several.
Stop it.
But one of them resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it did. The fourth and four where he hit Adams for a touchdown. I mean, great play. I still would have taken the field goal there at the time. You know, you're asking me at the time what would I have done? I would have taken the field goal. Fourth and Fourth and sixes
after that that they did not make.
At the 36, I mean, that's a 40, that's a pretty long field.
It's like 53?
Yeah, 53, 54. I guess I don't have a problem with that one. I'm not so I wasn't so impressed with the play. I think they gave up a little bit of pressure on that, and he had to throw it away. But, you know, then the 4th and 14, they had to go for it at the end of the half because Rodgers took a bad sack that knocked him out of field goal range. And then what was the other 4th down? There was one more.
I believe there was one more. I know the Bears also went for 3 or 4. It was, you know, again, they're not really trusting much of the – so maybe the Packers just had the 2 or 3 they went for.
No, I guess that was it for, just the, two. For the Packers. Yeah. But, I you know, I it's great to be fire your team up, but you got to make those in order for your team to feel really confident about them in the future. And I just think you got a really good field goal kicker. Use them.
Yeah, I wonder if indoors the next 2 weeks that changes things. If they like the idea of Mason Crosby kicking from 53, mm-hmm. you know, in a dome as opposed to 10-degree weather.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
But either, I mean, either way, I mean, I guess you don't get it either way. You're given the team plus field position at the line of scrimmage. The other, you know, and this kind of, we made a note about it, but it definitely kind of went under the radar, was the New York-initiated DPI review that I don't know how it played on the broadcast, but in real time, you know, we don't have a commercial break like maybe you do at home. So the play ends, 4th and 10, no flag. Offense comes on the field, but they're standing around because they got to wait for the commercial break. No announcement. There's no, I mean, and we're just kind of looking and we notice, wait a minute, the official's over with the headset on. What are they looking at? So now that comes back and then they're showing replays of, of the play. And I'll be honest, Tom, I mean, I thought if New York buzzed it, they were going to flag Jair Alexander for pass interference.
Yeah.
I didn't see any reason why they would buzz in to review it and not, I guess, throw the flag. Because it was pass interference. I mean, if you, to me, it was clear and obvious. It would have given the... It would have given it would have given the Bears 1st and 10, and I think it was inside the 20.
Yeah, and they were able to buzz it because it was under two minutes. So they're in charge of everything under 2 minutes. I don't understand what Matt LaFleur was asked about it and was kind of ticked off about it, but I'm not sure what he was mad about and that it took so long or that they initiated pass
interference. I think it's because it wasn't called on the field, and you know the eye in the sky buzzed in to review it.
Yeah,
I think, to me, that's why he would have been a little.
He should be, you know, he benefited from that against Minnesota. I think wasn't it when was it Dalvin Cook who was called for a pass interference?
Offensive,
they were looking at something else.
I think it was they were looking at something else. Yeah, and they ended up calling. Yeah, one of them for an illegal block or pick in the end zone or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. It was interesting. It was interesting. And, yeah, I thought he grabbed him he grabbed Allen Robinson. I don't know if it was a catchable ball.
And maybe, yeah. But we didn't get any explanation from the official Scott Novak either. It was just play down the field is upheld.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
I guess for us, Tom, or maybe for me, it was a reminder of what the rest of the league has been dealing with. The Packers really haven't been, you know, I talk about last year, the controversies with the body weight on the quarterback and roughing the passer. Mm-hmm. Packers have been healthy, opponents are getting hurt, and they haven't had to deal with kind of some of this review stuff. Yep. I mean, Matt LaFleur made a couple early challenges. Then he realized, okay, the bar is what it is, and he hasn't messed with it since. And so, I don't know. It was one of those where it's like, oh, yeah, going into the playoffs, this is still a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know what the best thing is, Tom?
What's
New Year's Eve. ringing in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tickets start at just $49. Can't beat that. Get yours at mkenyeve.com.
All right.
So, yeah, 11-3. You know, Tom and I will be back here at Lambeau Field midweek.
We've got a lot to talk about with the Vikings.
Yeah. Interesting schedule this week. With the Monday game, the Packers will be off Tuesday and Wednesday. So they're kind of pushing the week forward a little bit.
Yes, I'll be sleeping through both those days.
Well, you got to build up the reserves for that New Year's Eve party when you get back from Detroit. You know, so, yeah, a lot to talk about. A lot will be on the line on Sunday. You know, we'll get into all this stuff, of course. Make sure to subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Download the apps, put on your push notifications, get everything that you could possibly need and want from our Packers team for your Packers coverage. For Tom, I am Jim from Lambeau Field. We will talk to you soon.